I hope you feel the warmth and love coming from your angels with the messages they're bringing to you in this episode.
I see them all the time now. I see them all the time. So I took my little angel, and she hangs on the wall behind me here at the shop to remind me that, you know, they're there all the time, all the time.
Beautiful souls, do you have a prayer request or want us to send you healing energy today? Would you like us to be praying for your friend or loved one? If this is you, go to worldslargestprayernetwork.com to submit your prayer request. And while you're there, please sign up to join our team of prayer warriors. The angels say prayer not only opens you to miracles, raises your vibration, and helps you heal, but the more you pray, the more God's presence is felt on earth. Feel your angels' love as they surround you right now, and listen for the positive, loving messages your angels intended specifically for you in today's episode. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Angels and Awakening podcast. I'm your host and author, Julie Jancis. Friends, today we're here with Shelly, who has these beautiful angel stories to share with us. Shelly, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for being here. And I love your puppies in the background. Are you a dog groomer?
Yes, I am. Actually, that's part of my story.
Oh, it's beautiful. I like even like you've got your scissors all behind you.
Yes, yes. This was the only quiet place I had today. So we're actually not working today. So.
All right. And where are you in the world?
I am in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Wonderful. I don't know why, but always hearing where people are at in the world helps me to just physically, like, mental map them within my brain.
Yes.
I'm going to have you take it away and share your first story.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I call this story my year of chaos or my midlife crisis. It actually started in 2022, about January. My daughter was graduating from high school. And so I had that chaos going on, which was a lot. For some reason, I decided to add into the mix a new puppy. So that was a lot. And then I had my business, which was booming. Right after the pandemic, my business saw a huge jump. We saw a lot of groomers leaving, which, by the way, I'm a dog groomer. And I own my own business, and we saw a lot of talent in the industry leave after the pandemic, and it left a big gap. So I was getting to where I could no longer take clientele. I was that busy. So the busyness I would call getting out of control. And I felt in my life just complete and total chaos. There was always something. On top of that, my daughter decided to go to school 5 hours away. So not only was she graduating, I was also preparing her to go away, my only baby. So that was a lot of chaos in my life. And I didn't really realize how bad it was. And at this point in time, I was indeed getting angel signs. I was just not seeing them for whatever reasons. I started seeing coins everywhere. And I thought, this is crazy. What? I would see them in the strangest, I mean, just the weirdest places. And I just wrote it off because of everything going in my life. So at work, one of the ways that I would relax and tune in to just what I had to do for the day was I started listening to podcasts. And that's how I found you. I was actually scrolling saying, I want to find something. I'm done with the politics. I'm done with this and that. I want something uplifting and happy and just spiritually good for me. And I found you. So I started listening to the podcast. And at this time, you were talking about your next angel membership year, which was the year of ease and peace and joy with angels. And I was like, really breathing that in. I was like, oh, love this. And every time I listened to you, I was like, I feel so much better. I love this. However, at that point in time, I didn't know whether I wanted to invest in the angel membership. I got your book and I started doing that. But the chaos was continuing in my life. And it culminated into a huge dog bite about November. It was the last week of October, early November of 2022. So this has been going from January 22 all the way to now we're at November. And I had a huge dog bite that landed me in the hospital for 4.5 days, receiving around the clock antibiotics. And, you know, for a person like me, it was hard because I had to sit there in the hospital and not do anything when I had had nothing but everything going on around me. And it was my chance to really sit there and say, something's got to change. I've got to change my life. Something has got to change. So I decided to join the Angel membership because that's, I was like, I've got to figure out this peace and this joy. So I started making changes. And part of the membership, we would get together in the small groups and we would talk. And all these ladies were so joyful and happy. And I kept listening to their stories. And I kept saying to myself, this stuff is not happening to me. I'm meditating. I'm doing the oneness. But I'm not getting any of the signs. I'm not seeing what these ladies are seeing. And, you know, that was unusual because I consider myself a very spiritual person. And in the past, I have gotten these signs, recognized them, you know, and somewhere along my life that stopped. But it didn't really stop. I just didn't notice what was going on. Because now that I look back, I see these were all signs leading up to this moment. The dog bite was a big one. So in January, probably the first week of January or so, I took down my Christmas tree. And in the past, I found ornaments in the tree in the past as I'm dragging it out. You know, I'm like, oh, darn it, I missed that ornament. And I've, you know, taken it off. So I made sure to scour this tree for ornaments. And we took it out. And, you know, it had been about 3 days. When you go outside in my house, you walk out and immediately there's a little sidewalk that leads right to the driveway. It's about a 5-step process to the driveway. So, you know, I did this for 3 to 4 days, walking outside, going to my car, never noticed a thing. Okay. I'd already taken the tree was gone, and I never noticed anything. Well, one day it was pouring. I mean, absolutely pouring the rain. So I get ready to go out to my car. I kind of cover myself up and I'm starting to run because I'm going to have to run to the car. That's how hard it was pouring. So I'm running. And as I'm running, I'm looking down and I notice there's a Christmas ornament right there in the grass beside the sidewalk. And I was like, oh, I was mad. I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that I left. You know, how did this happen again? I scoured that tree. So I jerked up this ornament. I get in my car and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how could I forget this? And I remembered one of the group leaders in the groups, in the small groups, said to me, because I had said, like, well, I'm not really getting angel signs. She laughed and she said, well, when you recognize them, you'll get them a lot. So basically she told me, yeah, you're getting them, but you're not seeing them. And so I sat there for a minute in my car and I went, oh my gosh, this was an angel sign. And I'll tell you why and I'll show you. This is what I found in the grass.
It's an angel.
It's a little angel. This little angel is what it took to bonk me upside the head and say, hello, we're here. You're getting your signs. You're not paying attention.
Shelly, so after you got that one, did you start to see them more?
I see them all the time now. I see them all the time. So I took my little angel and she hangs on the wall behind me here at the shop to remind me that, you know, they're there all the time, all the time. Archangel Ariel is, I call on her a lot,
yes.
A lot when dealing with the dogs. So, but I see them all the time through numbers. I see them through stories that you tell all the time. I see it through Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God. I'm listening to that. And I had thought a specific thought about a part of a Catholic mass where the congregation repeats something. I thought, I wonder what that means. And I'll be darned if Neil Donald Walsh didn't address it like the next day when I was listening to, and I was like, oh my gosh, well, okay, there's your sign. Just about anything I can find, you know, a sign in saying, okay, I get numbers all the time though, but
yeah,
I've noticed colors more. So I'm hoping that through work and continued practice that I'm getting better.
That's amazing. Have you ever thought about integrating like animal energy healing, bringing through messages for animals? Because as I'm tuning into Archangel Ariel with you, that's all she keeps talking about is like, she's opening up this pathway. It's totally your free will to choose to go down it, but it's really strong there in your auric field.
Yes, because actually it was during one of your podcasts, I was listening to Nancy, is it Windhart or Weinhart?
I'm not sure. I forget how you pronounce
that. She was the animal communicator. And yes. I had never really thought about it until I heard that podcast. And I looked her up. I've looked up the information and I get her, you know, this is what you need to be looking for. And I've started practicing it on some really difficult dogs. And I have found that, like, I'm not getting communications what she talks about. It's not that clear. It's not that strong. But like, I have found myself when I have a really, really difficult dog, just kind of putting my hands on them and going, okay, it's okay. This is not, you know, the quicker we do this, the more we can go home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying to envision that in my mind for them of home or mom's going to come back and get you. We just got to get through this. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to, you know, nothing's going to happen. We just got to get through this.
You'd be excellent in the Angel Reiki school too, because we've had so many animal communicators come through there. And a lot of times we're just not like singularly gifted to bring through messages from animals or loved ones. Like once you understand how to do it, you can tell what is your intuition, what is, you know, coming through from your spirit team to you, what's coming through from pets to your client, what's coming through from loved ones to your client, what's coming through from angels to your client. So there's a lot in there. I'm so excited for where you're going to take this.
I don't know that this area is quite ready for that yet.
For sure.
For me to like, you know, say, hey, you know, let's do some animal communication. I'm not sure this area is ready for that yet, but I do use it. I do try to just, if not anything else, just to calm them down, because your energy is key in this job. You have to have the correct energy or it's just going to blow up on you. So that is something that I have been concentrating on, is making sure the energy is right in the building.
I remember before we rode horses one time where they said, you know, like you have to really stabilize your energy before you get on that horse. But I've always felt energy, seen energy in ways. And so this was even before I started this work. And I remember getting onto that horse and feeling like just how empaths take on energy, that horse was like absorbing my energy into its auric field and kind of almost becoming one.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's wild.
So they feel it all. They feel it all. They, you know, they can tell if you're afraid, they can tell if you're happy, sad, they feel it all. So, and whether you're an empath or not, because I don't really consider myself an empath, they are.
They are. Oh, 100%. Did you know I give away a new free reading each month to a listener who leaves a 5-star rating of this show on Apple Podcasts or Amazon? After you leave 5 stars, go over to the Contact Me page on my website, theangelmedium.com. Fill out the contact me form, letting us know that you gave 5 stars. That way we can contact you when you win. The more 5 stars you leave, the more chances you have to win. And your name always stays in until you do. Don't forget to stay subscribed to our emails so that you know when you've won your free session with me. Sending you so much love and gratitude for your support on this. Thank you. Now let's dive back into the show. That's what I write about in the books, Angels and Awakening, is that Archangel Ariel says that all animals are natural energy healers in general, yes. That they're built with a different energy filtration system than the rest of us. And they really filter out our anxieties, our stresses. And I don't believe that it sticks to them, right? It more so just moves through them. They are just love. And that's amazing. I love the work that you get to do.
Oh, yeah. They are the most forgiving. I mean, you know, sometimes I have to do things that are not so nice. And the first thing they'll do is turn around and say, wag their tail. Say, you know, give me that. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
Well, Shelley, I think that you have another angel story for us.
I do. Yay. And this is after I've settled down here and, started seeing my signs. I was practicing oneness, and my dad has passed away. Dad and I didn't really always have the greatest relationship. We kind of had I'm familiar with your story, and it's kind of similar. He didn't always make the greatest choices in the world.
Yeah.
And so there came a point in time to where I had to say, you know, I love you, but I can't be involved with you. Yeah. So for about 17 years there, we had a relationship where me and dad would basically Facebook happy birthday or Merry Christmas, nothing too, you know, I would give him updates on my daughter occasionally, nothing too intimate, but just letting each other know we're still there. Hey, we still love each other. That was about it. So about a year or so ago, he got really sick, really, really, really sick, and he was dying. And there came a point where he was put in hospice, and my brother called me and he said, if you want to talk to dad, this is it. This is it. This is your chance. And I honestly didn't know what to do because we didn't talk on the phone. We didn't do that. We, you know, just sent each other cards or messages. And I was in a lot of turmoil because, and this might sound bad to some listeners, because I was honestly okay with him passing. He was sick, and I knew that it was awful for him because he had a rough death. And I was okay on my end of the relationship, but I didn't know how he was on his end of the relationship now that he was passing away. So believe it or not, I was in the shower one night, 6 p.m., and I've heard a lot of your guests say they meditate in the shower, and I think that's funny because that's when I do it. But I was meditating in the shower, and I was like, guys, I was talking to the angels. I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know if it's appropriate for me to contact him by phone or not. And at that point, I didn't even have his phone number. So I asked for a sign. And I said, it's got to be a clear, specific sign, and it's got to be tonight. I have to know tonight. And I told them, I said, you know, one of the things that I associate my dad to, there was two things, Disney and Elvis. Those were big associations with him, with my dad. And so I said, okay, angels. I said, I know it's 6 p.m. I know it's late, but give me an Elvis sign. If I'm supposed to contact dad, give me an Elvis sign. And I left it at that. I was like, okay, you know, I was pretty clear about it. So I'm sitting there at night, and it was about 8 p.m. And I think it was a re-recording of the Westminster Dog Show was on, of all things, because as a groomer, I often look, you know, how are they doing that? What's going on different in the world of haircuts for these dogs? And the toy poodle came out. And the commentator was talking about how Elvis gave toy poodles as gifts to the people that he loved. And I was like, I sat there for a minute and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Of all the places in the world for Elvis to come through, it was on the Westminster Dog Show. And I just kind of sat there for a minute. I was like, okay, I got it. And so after that, I called my brother and I said, I need Dad's number. I'm going to give him a call. And it's about 3 weeks before he passed. And I called him and it was really, he had a lot of breathing, had a hard time breathing. So it was a very, very, very short conversation. It was basically, I love you. I have a hard time talking. So we have to keep it short, but just keep in touch. And I was like, okay. The following week, I had laryngitis. So I couldn't actually speak to him. And I thought, well, he's having a real hard time talking. So what I'll do is I'll text him. And so I texted him and I told him, I can't physically speak. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a whole bunch of pictures and explain them to you. So I sent him basically a whole bunch of pictures of everything he missed in our lives. My daughter, my husband, my life, from the 17 years, we didn't have a big relationship. So including her graduation and things like that and her prom. And so I sent that and I think he loved them. He sent me back that he loved them, thank you. And then the following week I was okay. And my brother had expressed to me, I don't know whether you're going to be able to talk to him. So I tried calling and nobody answered. And I texted and I said, Tom says you're not really doing so hot. I just wanted to, get in touch, say I love you. Because that was the one thing he asked me to do was stay in touch. So I had decided once a week I was going to do that. And he never got back to me because he was in the active stage of dying. But I felt like my phone call helped him go. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like he was waiting on that. He couldn't leave until he got some closure in areas of his life. And that was a closure he needed. It wasn't for me because I felt fine with where I was in the relationship. I felt like I did it for him because he was just hanging on. And I felt like I had prayed for weeks to the angels that, I had asked them, you're the angel who helps people pass. I think it's Jeremiah, is that right? Who goes from, helps them go. I was like, help him go, help him meet Azrael, I think. And, so help him to cross. And it wasn't happening. And then I did the phone calls and it happened. And I felt like that was what he needed. So,
yeah.
And, and every time I see Elvis now, I'm just like, hey, Dad, and he does. He pops up in weird conversations and I'm like, okay, that was weird. Hi, Dad. Yeah. And I feel like he's told me he's okay. He's okay.
It's so interesting doing this work to just see things from the perspective of energy as people are passing, because we hold on to so many different energies in our own lives of pressuring ourselves to do this or that or be this or that. And we have perfectionist tendencies and we just really want to do our best in this lifetime. And there's so much that just even when we're not dying, like when we're in our teens, our 20s, our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, where we're holding on to these pressures and these thought notions within our minds. And you think about trying to let that stuff go. Like, how do you just stop being a perfectionist? How do you let that go? And I think a lot of us, if you asked a perfectionist, they'd go, I don't know. I don't know how you just let it go. And that's the best that your people on the other side can describe it to you in a session with me. They'll bring that example up because they say, Julie, how do you let go of being a parent? How do you let go of being a dad, of being a husband, of being a son, of being, you know, whatever stage of life you're in, you have these roles, there's responsibilities. How do you let go of the life's work? You spent all these years toiling away for this one particular mission. How do you just let go? It's interesting, and I later on in life would like to do some more work with this because we're so subconscious, most people in their everyday lives as they're going through, that we don't even think about what's actually with us, what we're thinking about, what emotions are with us. It would be interesting to do work with people at the end of life to see if they really realize that that's what they're struggling with, and to put together some mechanisms and techniques to help them release and let go. And it's all gonna be okay.
Yeah. And sometimes I think it's just as easy as telling them it's okay. It's okay. Because I did that with my grandfather too, when he was passing. You know, I came into the room and I was the last one there, of course. And I said, you know, Pa, that's what I called him. I said, it's okay. I said, it's okay to go. I promise I'm not going to let anything happen here. It's going to be okay. And like 5 minutes later, he passed. So I felt like he waited on me to get there. And then once I said, you know, it's okay, I'm going to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah,
he was done. So, and I think it's just that easy sometimes.
I think you're right. I haven't been there at anybody's passing yet. I'm very blessed to be 42 and to not have done that. We've been dealing with a dog of ours, which after this, I have to ask you some questions, who's just not doing so well, but he's too young to like leave. He's only 9 years old. And, you know, we were sitting with him, my husband and I'm going to start crying, like in the vet office this week. And my husband just out of nowhere just started saying like, Fluff, we're not ready. Like, we're not ready. We're not ready. And I don't know if like he's holding on too, because we're not ready. Like, we're just not ready to lose him. And I've been processing that and comparing it to what I've seen from spirit so many times, where I'll be working with a client and they've got a parent or a grandparent who's been back and forth for years between departing and not departing, departing and not departing. And I can see now through what we're going through with Fluff that sometimes the family isn't ready, and that energy tie can keep a person energetically here. And there is this toggling dance between, are they ready? Are they not? Is the family ready? Are they not? And it just lingers. And that's one of the hardest things for my clients, because you'll always hear the client say, I just want them to be at peace. I just want them to be okay. But there's also simultaneously a part within us that's not always ready to say goodbye.
Sure. Yeah. That's your baby.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But you know, one of the things I've learned through doing this is, been doing it long enough, been doing it for 24 years. So I've seen a lot of pets pass. They're okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay. And sometimes they may even come back to you. I've got, believe it or not, this new puppy I have. I don't know if this is possible or not, or if it's the same little soul, but I think he's got two little dogs of mine in him. Mm-hmm. So I see him do things and I think, oh my gosh, that's my had a little chaotic pug for a long time. And I think, oh, there she is. and I've had visitation dreams mm-hmm. with my first beloved dog. And he came back specifically to tell me, I'm okay, Mom. Yeah. I'm here and it's great.
Yeah.
you know, and I could feel him and I could smell him. And I, you know, so I know it was a visitation dream, but he comes through often. Yeah. He was like visiting.
Oh, so. I'm so grateful for our dog Fluff, because I wrote about this in the first book, Angels and Awakening, that we didn't know what to name him. And one of the signs, my dad always liked Fluffernutter, like the marshmallow fluff.
Yes.
I mean, that was his thing. Fluffernutter sandwiches. And so we saw this big wall to wall, like aisle or end row at Walmart, of just complete Fluffernutter. And I have never seen that before. We ended up naming him Fluff. And he just came into our lives like at a point where like my marriage was a mess in like 2015. And like Fluff's energy just shifted everything within our lives. And it's just been such a big blessing. And I just feel this overwhelming just gratitude for the way that the energy of my dogs and just their love, their unconditional support has just completely transformed our lives and given us like the best decade I've ever lived, not just with the podcast, but just the love within our family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't take that away. You can't take that, because you've got Shih Tzus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I had. Right before my year of chaos, my little Shih Tzu passed away. And that's what I got. I have a Pikazoo now named Mushu. And he was, even though it was chaotic, he was part of my healing. He was very much part of that healing, because I was a little lost without my little Fluffy right beside me, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember taking a picture when I picked him up. I had this little bitty black Fluffy right beside me, and took a picture and sent it to my husband, and he goes, "There's her smile again." And he meant me, because I had been so unhappy because my little baby had passed away. So.
I know. I don't think that, I can't even think about like losing him. And I'm definitely really struggling with this. And I know that we'll always be connected. But my goodness, is it a process?
And it's hard, because you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it so hard is I have never seen a domestic pet pass away naturally or very little. You know, usually you have to make a decision to end the suffering.
Yeah.
Very few people have, you know, just, "Oh, I woke up and he had passed." You know, they've had to make a decision because of illness or injury or, and so I found that, you know, I have been able to learn and comfort people through that. And I have a lot of my clients will call me and say, "Buddy passed away last night," or "I had to take Buddy and put him to sleep," or, and they feel comfortable calling me because I feel comfortable talking about it.
Yeah.
So I do feel like that's part of my helping through my job is, you know.
Oh, for sure.
To make them better, whether it's just to make them feel better with a nice haircut or to make the pet parent feel better, because I can discuss, you know, "Hey, this is how we can better take care of the pet and make them happier so you're happier," you know. So, and it took me a little bit to learn that, because I thought, surely this is not the job where I'm supposed to help people, but it is. I fully believe that. So,
yeah, there aren't that many people to talk about it with. So
No. And I found a lot of people don't want to talk about it,
mm-hmm.
but you know, when you hand me a 15-year-old baby and their life expectancy is 12 years, and they say to me, you know, "Oh, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do." You know, I have found ways to gently introduce, you know, it's time to start thinking about the dog through, mm-hmm. you know, because they are a senior at this point, and it is going to happen. And, you know, I'm not trying to bum you out or, you know, but right. These are things we have to think about as human beings who have been put in charge of these creatures. So
think about how much pain how much pain they're in. And
Right. Well, I mean, you know, when somebody stops eating or, you know, can't move anymore, or you have to think about quality of life. It's all about mm-hmm. quality of life. And that's, you know, that's something that I introduced to them, which amazingly enough, a lot of people don't think about with their pets is how's the quality of life, because yeah. they've given you so much,
right.
You know, one of the greatest things you can do for them is to ensure that they're not suffering. So.
And that's what's going on right now. Like for the last 2 months, he's just like slowly changed his eating habits. I noticed at first we like had this silver shiny bowl that they used to drink out of for their water. And sometimes like the sun would hit it and I didn't know if he didn't like the glare, but then we put it into like this large white bowl, but he still wouldn't drink out of that. So then we gave him this teeny tiny little bowl of water, which is the only thing that he would drink out of. And then he changed his eating habits where he wouldn't eat dog food anymore. We've literally probably spent over $1,000 over the last 2 months trying every single dog food out there to try and get him the right vitamins. He won't eat any of it, like none of that. So I started him like on this home cooked like animal food diet, so cooking that for him. But then he wouldn't eat off of his plate anymore. I have to hand feed him. Like I can't even put it on a spoon and give it to him. He'll only take for some reason out of my hand. But over the past 2 weeks, he's just like pretty much stopped eating altogether. Only eat like 3 bites a day. And so we've taken him into the vet multiple different times. I mean, like they've done all of the x-rays, they've done the ultrasounds, they've looked at the teeth to make sure. And like, they can't tell us what's going on. He was in some physical pain, but they said it's probably two separate issues. Like GI is one, and then something going on pain-wise. So we went through like around a week's worth of pain medicine, and he kind of like came back a little bit, but then he went downhill again really fast. And now he's like on pain medication, and we're giving him medicine every day to try and spark his appetite. But it's also confusing because he like on the medications, he kind of comes back to life. But then as soon as those medications wear out, he's just a very different dog.
The things that you said, you know, I would have wondered, did you have a complete blood workup?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Including thyroid.
I'll check on that.
Okay. So I would check his thyroid. I would ask specifically to check his thyroid.
Okay.
He is a senior pup, so he does need senior things for the joints.
Okay.
So you said he was on pain medication. That's probably something that needs to continue, whether you look into some sort of glucosamine or even a prescription type Rimadyl for arthritis.
Okay.
And your vet will be able to recommend all those to you. You can get some over, like I have a 8-year-old dog that takes pain medication all the time because she's blown out her knees. And so she's on it for the rest of her life, probably, which will be, you know, till about 12. So, since you do have a senior dog, I would say, you know, there may be some arthritis starting to set up in the joint. The teeth were another thing that I, you know, if the teeth are fine, then, you know, maybe have a second look and see. But thyroid, check that thyroid.
Okay.
And check for Cushing's. Those are specific things that have to be tested for.
Cushing's disease?
Cushing's disease.
Okay. I didn't know that dogs could get that.
Yeah. Check for Cushing's. We know he's not got diabetes because you did the basic blood work and that would have been caught. but you have to test specifically for thyroid, specifically for Cushing's.
Okay.
And see, because a lot of the behavior that you're describing, I've seen that with thyroid and Cushing's and other dogs. So where they
and
just...
And as soon as you can get that under control, they start eating again?
Thyroid is amazingly simple. You just give them a pill and it's relatively cheap and they come back to life.
Yeah.
Cushing's is a little more difficult. You have to regulate the medication.
Okay.
So it will be months of blood work and, you know, is this the right dose? Is that the right dose? And you will eventually see things like stiffening of the joints, you know, as they age. But a lot of dogs do amazingly well on the medication. They get appetites back. They get their little bounce back. They, you know, they make it to a really nice senior age comfortably. So those are the two things I would say to look for: Cushing's and thyroid.
All right. Well, we're going to do it, Shelly. That's amazing. Well, thank you. This is a turntable today. You gave me the messages. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Thank you for being here. Anybody listening who has angel stories to share, I'd love to have you on the show. Go over to theangelmedium.com and submit your stories through our contact form. And again, we'd love to have you here to bring hope to just so many people who need to hear your stories. Shelly, thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Beautiful soul, thank you so much for joining me today. My name's Julie. You know I'm all about connecting you with messages from your angels and loved ones on the other side. If you've been listening today and you're super excited and just have to know which angels are around you right now, who's connecting with you, and what messages they have for you, go to theangelmedium.com. Register for a session. You can do a reading with me or a member of my team. We're all incredible. We all talk to angels daily, and we can help you in making sure that your angels are doing the very best they can to support you and guide you to your best life. If this sounds like you, virtual sessions, they're only offered on my website. Sign up today. And if you're the person who's really excited, you're ready to go all in developing all of your unique spiritual gifts, growing your intuition, starting your own healing business, you can sign up for my Angel Reiki School to become a certified angel messenger. That's for the healers among us who feel called to grow their intuition to the max and serve humanity with their gifts. You'll learn Reiki, mediumship, how to deliver angel messages, and how to get clients. That's the Angel Reiki School at theangelmedium.com, or DM me on Instagram at Angel Podcast with any questions. Before you go, connect with your angels by placing your hands on your heart. Take a deep breath. Imagine a doorway filled with God's unconditional love is right in front of you. Step into that love and feel it as it fills your body, chakras, and auric field. Now ask your angels, what would you have me know today? And open yourself to the positive, loving messages they have just for you.